Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Following the guilt is the shame. All right, so there's a reason why this happened, and it's something that I did. Then you start to go back to all of the past reasons. I went back to the stuff that I started thinking when we lost the first child.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm a bad person. I'm not supposed to have kids. I'm never going to have kids. Like, but that's not true. I have Drew. Drew's right. Amazing. So then why didn't I get this one? Because he was also amazing. Like, there was something here. I was supposed to have this, but I don't. Why not? Like, even trying to rationalize it. I'm not coming up with anything. And I'm calling out to God. I'm asking for answers for something. I'm just trying to just hear a voice, and I'm getting absolutely nothing back.
Yeah.
And so, wait. That'll give me some answers. If not, it'll take me away from my lack of understanding and answers in this area. And it did.
5, 2, 3, 4. 5, 2, 3, 4.
All right, we're good. 1, 2, 3. Let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy. And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning about grief, and learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
Welcome all new and veteran listeners.
We're back. Season 4.
We're recording again.
Yes.
This is happening.
Oh my God.
I missed you. On these mics.
I know. We really needed it.
Yeah, this is first of all, this is FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
This is like real FaceTime for us. So this is nice.
Yeah.
To see you in your element.
I know. Back creating with you.
You excited about this season?
Excited. I am excited, though.
It's fair if there are other words to describe
your
feeling.
Yes, I am excited to be known. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Like, this season is really for us.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a really good way for our listeners to just know us better and for us to get more comfortable with ourselves.
Yeah, because we ain't told y'all shit in the last 3 seasons. So this is
this is
the real
right.
Mikey and Randy. But yeah, no, I'm excited. It's good to be podding again.
It is.
Yeah.
We get better each episode. Each episode. Okay.
So let's go. Let's get into it.
All right. So this season's theme is grief, y'all, where we share the sadness, breakthroughs, triggers, ways life goes on, and more since the loss of our son, Noble, who was born on July 25th at 23 weeks and a day. So, yeah, last season, our theme was taking our shit back.
And that went really well.
It was a fail. Our shit said you thought. And so this season, we're going to talk about grief.
Our shit had hands.
Yeah. Our shit met us outside. It said it wasn't going to jump us. And it did.
Ain't nobody going to jump you. Come on.
We got beat. And so
just
this season, we're gonna talk about it. So mm-hmm. In this episode, we're talking about turning to vices in the season of grief.
And we're going to use like the actual words when we get into this episode. But for now, we're just going to refer to them as vices.
Yes. So in our first segment, we're going to discuss why we turned to smoking and drinking and the effects it had on our marriage, ourselves personally, and how it impacts slash impacted slash affected our grief.
Second is our fight or flight, where
I am going to bring a fight to Mike about why he is always trying to kill us.
I'm always trying to kill you.
Yep.
You're going to use an absolute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always trying to kill you. There may be some validity to this. I won't fight it yet.
Yes, because you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, wait. Who's the us that you're referring to? Me and you? You, me, Drew?
Your family. Me, you, and Drew. And you know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Finally, y'all, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment where we will share something we're proud of for each other and or express some gratitude.
Y'all know how it goes.
Right. All right, y'all.
Let's get into it. Main topic. So the title of this episode is what?
We are really high.
We are really high. What does that mean, Randy?
No, really, really high. Really, really high tonight.
This morning.
Mikey.
At 12:09 a.m.
That is not true.
There was one day that I, what do you all know? There was some mornings, Randy. I had some mornings.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like now. High.
No, not right now. We're not only talking about right now. This is in reference to when.
Yeah.
We were really high.
Yeah.
What's up? Break it down.
So our backstory is, as many of you know, we were pregnant last year, 2021, and we also lost our son. And we took a break from podcasting. And in the midst of that break, well, we really needed that break one. But in the midst of that break, we
had other breaks.
Yeah. We went through a lot. And what we're trying to do this season is really lay out the framework for everyone about what this grief looks like. And to also just be, to be honest, but with tact, but real, you know,
normal chat and shit.
Yes. And to give people like just something to turn to, because we actually haven't talked about this, but I'm excited that this season is about grief because we live in a society that does not grieve when it desperately needs to. And we have desperately needed to grieve.
I think also on a,
and
on
we
maybe
still
a,
need to, like, we're still grieving.
Yeah, maybe on a level deeper than that. And we haven't talked about this, but. So the podcast is for. I think I just had the thought. I'm also going through something personally that you're aware of, which trying to like get my stuff together, figure my stuff out. And in this space is one of the spaces where I feel like I can actually put myself out there to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So for any male struggling with anything similar to this, I hope that this like hits somebody like or helps somebody. Because I think I'm going to just kind of let loose.
You should.
With this season.
I already feel like your throat chakra is like really blocked.
Extremely. Because I've been extremely quiet over the last
six, seven months
because of whatever reason. Whether I had to or felt like I needed to or whatever.
Yeah.
Or wanted to. And so I can feel it breaking apart already.
Good.
So yeah. We're going to talk.
So yeah. So so that's the backstory. And so once Noble passed, I mean, we did a lot of things. And we're going to start with the vices. Okay.
Step one.
Right. We really wanted to escape, you know, it's, you know, the usual things. We wanted to escape among other things. And so we'll start with why we started drinking and smoking more and or for the first time. So baby first.
So whenever I've lost somebody in the past, and when you think of loss, a lot of the times you try to like rationalize it or figure out ways to deal with it in ways that you've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost people when I was younger. And most of the time it was like just an escape thing. Don't go to places that you were with when you were with them, or do some things that make you think of happier times when you were with them, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
This was just very different in that it was our child. It was our first son. It was just a traumatic, however many months.
It was a traumatic pregnancy.
Just all of it. And so all of it was just really rough. And the main reason why I started smoking and drinking was just because I needed an escape. Nothing was working and my sober thoughts were setting me off.
What were your sober thoughts?
So what's the first stop is usually like guilt.
Mm-hmm. What were you feeling guilty about?
Everything that you were experiencing. I put myself in a space where I just had to take a step back because I have to start somewhere. So I'm like just feeling guilty of the general loss of the child. I watched you struggle for so long and I felt bad because I was hyping you up that entire time, encouraging you like, hey, no, it's going to be fine. All we got to do is do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to all these things and we're following all these directions that doctors give us. And we're praying. We're praying the prayers. We're saying the words. We're doing the actions and
post-it notes around the house. And
all of these things are supposed to bring us, you know, ultimately the thing that we set out for, our goal, our child. None of that kept him here.
Nope.
But I did the things that I felt like a solid partner should do, a good husband should do. I also felt bad And this is not like as deep as the other reasons, because I feel like I was drowning you.
What do you, in water?
Literally drowning you in water. yeah, so, you know, Randy's water broke.
Yeah.
What week?
18 and a half weeks.
18, 19. Okay. And so for 2 months.
Right, for a month, right?
I'm just.
Till I was 23 weeks. We're
because
just.
Because we're trying to like refill this sack. So I'm just like, all right, you drink your water, you drink your water, you drink your water. Like I'm constantly refilling this water bottle. Ice, no ice. You started getting too cold sometimes.
A gallon. I was peeing all the time. He was
and
also breached.
Gotta put it back in.
Yeah, we gotta put it back in.
I feel like I was drowning you. I'm applying this woman with water and your skin looked great.
No, I really was drinking more water. I couldn't drink water after we had him. After I had him, I couldn't drink water for like 2 weeks.
Water is triggering.
Like I really couldn't manage to drink water.
It's the little things now.
Yeah.
But that was just one of the reasons. Following the guilt is the shame. All right, so there's a reason why this happened, and it's something that I did. Mm-hmm. Then you start to go back to all of the past reasons. I went back to the stuff that I started thinking when we lost the first child.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm a bad person. I'm not supposed to have kids. I'm never going to have kids. Like, but that's not true. I have Drew. Drew's right. Amazing. So then why didn't I get this one? Because he was also amazing. Like, there was something here. I was supposed to have this, but I don't. Why not? Like, even trying to rationalize it. I'm not coming up with anything. And I'm calling out to God. I'm asking for answers for something. I'm just trying to just hear a voice, and I'm getting absolutely nothing back.
Yeah.
And so, wait. That'll give me some answers. If not, it'll take me away from my lack of understanding and answers in this area. And it did.
Yeah,
it did. And I, you know, I'm a crossfader. For anybody out there is wondering, I have to. I drink and smoke at the same time when I smoke. I just do. It provides a balance for me, because the drinking I'm familiar with. Because I don't smoke as much, I need to like wean myself into that space. And because, you know, this new weed that the kids is smoking is different. It's different. They got all types of Skywalkers and everything got a color and an animal associated with it. We saw some shit called Purple Hulk.
What?
Purple Hawk. No. Some wild shit that doesn't just like exist now.
Oh no.
Bubblegum Yellow Dream. I ain't got time for all this shit. So
Bubblegum Yellow Dream.
They don't have nothing like how it used to be. You know, it used to just be Reggie, which is low level shit, and mid, which is just evenly balanced shit.
So.
And then loud, which is like this rapper weed shit. And so now everything is exotic and just does too damn much. So I needed balance. But yeah, so weed.
Thank you, Mike.
What about you?
So I started drinking more and smoking really for the first time because I spent all my life trying to be a really good girl.
Mm-hmm.
You
Except
know, for the
me.
Most part.
Yeah. Okay, I was about you.
For the most part. And it did not work. And I was just like, well, if none of this works, if it's all a fluke, right?
Did not work in what way? Meaning like the things you set out to do didn't work out.
I thought that I would be rewarded with
for good behavior.
Right. And that I would get to keep my son. I thought that I would be rewarded for the way I've lived my life, for getting married, for waiting to have the kids. You know, I thought I would be rewarded for following the rules, for never smoking, you know, for like never doing these things that.
Oh, how much time you wasted. Young
yeah,
one.
I'm just like, I've been out here bored, you know, like because I thought that like God would see me, you know, and.
No,
and,
you weren't high enough. To
and let me keep my son.
I get it.
And it has not worked that way. And my therapist was like, you know, the reward cannot be things we can't control. The reward cannot be vitality. You know, we can't control how long somebody we love lives, no matter how good we are. And if you're being good for a reward, are you really being good? And do you want to be? And what does that mean? You know, it was a whole bunch of like existential crisis. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what?
That's a complicated question and answer, though.
I think I'm going to smoke. Think I'm going to drink some more, you know, and it was great. I mean, and a lot of people who have lost children who have had miscarriages, or there's not a lot of people we know who've had infant losses. At least they haven't come forward with us, but a lot of people who had miscarriages, and there are a few who've had some baby losses, but a lot of them was like, hey, you need something to smoke, you know? Can I bring you some alcohol? Like, they was like, you don't have to feel your feelings right now.
But with the strands we was getting gifted in the first days.
Gifts. Mm. Okay. So yeah, That was why I started, did more, you know, all the things. All right. So.
That's true. Well, I want you to start this next one off, actually.
Okay.
So how did drinking or smoking affect our marriage, in your opinion?
In the beginning, I felt really connected to you, right? It was like, oh, we were just two, like we were spouses. And we're the only two people in the world who know what this is like. Mm-hmm. We're the only two people in the world who have lost this son. And you know, it wasn't like you're going outside to smoke and I'm sitting inside reading a book. It's like, no, let's go together. You know, we're watching Loki, high.
Which may not have been the best.
Not smart.
There was one episode where the intro was trippy.
I was like, what is happening?
I think it's the last episode. If y'all look at it, at the intro, the screen starts sort of tilting to the right. So both of us are turning our heads.
I'm like, you know what? Loki is not that show to watch when you aren't supposed to. So I felt like, I felt like in camaraderie with you. Mm-hmm. Especially in those first few weeks because you still had time off of work. And so we were together all the time. Drew was still gone so that we could like get our bearings. And I just felt more connected to you.
Okay.
And I'll save my second one for after you.
That's
so
right.
How about you? How do you think it affected our marriage?
At first, I thought that it didn't.
Really?
I was like, so we're accepting that this is fine. which is, you know, that's textbook Mikey and Randy. We're accepting of each other. There's understanding immediately
mm-hmm.
when it comes to certain stuff. So at the start, there was no judgment. I woke up. Whatever, 7 o'clock, pre-roll ready. I'm going outside. I'm walking Groot through my neighborhood, and I'm just not this person. I am an outside smoker, but usually, you know, go find a spot on the back porch, sit down, enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I am walking through my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
walking Groot to go poop, and just I don't care. I genuinely do not care.
But
by the time I get back home, you know, I have like a good, nice high, and I'm prepared for you to wake up so that we can now smoke together and drink the other space that I'm in. But the conversations hadn't changed. The energy between us hadn't changed. Like we're on the same page. Like we're grieving. We're not okay. We're accepting of that. But I could tell that something was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll save that for my second one. But
okay.
Yeah.
I eventually think that we became very toxic friends. You know, we're that friend that's constantly enabling the other to do stupid shit.
No, I don't have those friends. Tell me what happened.
You know, it's just, it wasn't like,
I need examples.
I was really more like, okay, leave him alone. Like, what do you do after you lose a child? What do you do? I would be high and drunk all the time, too. And I was. And you were. And we were, like you said, we kind of just let each other be. It wasn't necessarily, you know, constructive. And we'll get to like, it wasn't
standards at that time.
I mean, I think it was, we had to do it, right? It's part mm-hmm. of the grief, right? It is part of like the process, the avoiding grief.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, like, I think that if we were of sound mind, if we were healthy, if we were well,
if we didn't lose a child,
right?
It's the only way that was
we
happen.
Would not have been like, hey, yeah, it's perfectly normal. It is 8 a.m. and you're high. Now, I remember when I woke up from a nap and you were dancing in the kitchen, and I was trying to figure out why this looked so odd.
Oh, yeah, I was cooking.
I was asleep.
You were asleep. I went outside, I was smoking, and I watched Space Jam. Horrible movie, by the way, but. It's really acceptable as an adult when you're high.
No, you weren't. I don't think you had smoked yet. But that's not what you told me. I remember I woke up and I was looking at you and I was like, why is this so odd? And I remember it was the first time you were smiling and since we lost Noble. And I was like, Mike, are you okay? You're like, I'm really drunk.
Oh, that time.
No,
that was different.
I was like, yeah, cause I hadn't seen you smile since July 25th.
Yeah, so that,
and I was like,
that time was, that was Douce. This is not an ad.
It was really bad.
Anyone who listens to the podcast, I am a heavy Crown drinker. That is my space. However, my brother has been talking about Douce my entire life. And he loves it. And so I decided to buy a bottle or two. And
you were gone. And I just remember thinking,
I was out of it.
This is like our norm. But it just, at some point it was like, this is not, like, we can't keep this up. And I know we're getting ahead.
Yeah,
I eventually realized that, like, we are not, friends don't let friends keep doing this. You know? Friends don't let friends keep doing this.
Dare like, it to wasn't, be different.
And in terms of like how it affected our marriage, I think it just, I don't know. I think in your marriage, I think we both hoped that in our marriage, one of us would be up if the other was down.
Well, historically speaking, that's exactly how our marriage worked. If I'm down, you're solid
mm-hmm.
and you have enough balance to be like, all right, let me just pull you back to a space that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're down, same, like, all right, I can set my stuff. I can, even if I'm going through something or vice versa, if we're going through something, I can set my stuff aside for a moment
mm-hmm.
and give her the room to like, all right, let me pull my partner back. But we both
was down
and balance is like, there's no, let me stand up to like pull you up right now. What I'm not going to do is pull you down further. Like, I'm not, like, we wasn't about to, there's no introduction of hard drugs in this house. Like, we're not about to start sticking shit in our arms. But there seemed to have been, like, a mutual understanding that we will be as healthily destructive as possible
mm-hmm.
during this time period because that's what's necessary.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line through that process, that's what led me to my second thing.
Okay.
Started getting, like, a looser tongue. And I started realizing, like, all right, I remember after we lost when we had the miscarriage, and I was really, really surprised by the fact that you wanted to try again as soon as you brought it up, because I didn't know how the conversation was ever going to go. I didn't know who was supposed to be the one bringing it up. But we were both in alignment with, you know, wanting to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a little bit of fear there of how that would go. Am I going to come across as like the ass that's pressuring his wife that's just been through this thing, after also going through this with her to like have a child? Is she going to never want to have a child with me again? Is this like, is it just going to be us? Because that's fine too. Like I know people, like couples that are like that, like it's just them. And you just came out of nowhere. He's like, so, you know, I think we should start having, I was like, oh.
We had that talk at the doctor's office.
I know, but you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused. I was like, well, yeah, I do. You sure? And you was like, yeah, what do you mean?
Okay. And this has.
I was wondering when we were going to start talking about the hospital, but I wasn't in a space where I was bringing it up. But I think slowly but surely, the drunker, the higher that we got, the more we started talking about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not just what we were feeling, but what the fuck happened 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last week? What was that conversation on the phone about? That doctor's visit. We started putting pieces of stuff together. And I think that it started creating different conversations.
Like?
Which led us to smoking and drinking more, I recognized. I was smoking and drinking less.
Oh, yes, less.
Because we were talking
less,
more.
Less,
yeah.
less.
And so I was like, oh, so that was the progression of this.
So us like getting our
It started
feelings
listening
out
our talk. Like, yeah,
so that we're actually talking. Yeah, because I do remember I didn't know what had happened because I had an emergency C-section, so yeah. I was put to sleep. And so I didn't know for months what time Noble was born. I didn't know.
I had all these things in my mind, but
yeah.
Like we were not.
I didn't know
there
like
yet.
All the things they tried to do to keep him here. I didn't know.
You didn't know any of the things that happened after they put
after
you
they
back in
the
room and put you
yes.
to sleep.
I had no clue. And so as we, yes, during that time frame, it
you
started
getting pieces and pieces of like a puzzle
the birth
that
story,
just
yes.
creates more of a picture for you. And I think that also made it a little bit more clear to you as to why I was bugging out the way I was,
mm-hmm.
and why I
needed
to like.
Because you were finally telling me what happened. Because I didn't know. When you woke me up, you were telling me, hey, he's right here, but he's not going to be here for long. He's not going to make it. But you had already had him to yourself for like so long outside of the womb that I was just like, you know, all I know is from the moment you woke me up. But none of the in-between stuff. So yeah, definitely, I agree. It definitely got us talking, which helped us to stop.
But I don't think that I was going to get to that point unless I was as high or drunk as I was, whether I was journaling, writing stuff in my phone, or trying to organize my thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't just trying to escape. I was trying to like straighten it out. I was trying to get myself like, I was trying to find solid ground.
Yeah.
Whatever that looked like. So I could pull myself back up so I could be solid enough to start doing some other shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or for us, whether that was like cleaning up the damn house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once we got home, then we already had a recliner like 3 feet away from the TV and we was just in the living room.
We rearranged it because I couldn't sleep in our
bed. You didn't want to go to the bedroom anymore.
I literally couldn't. Like I couldn't. And so I was like, I can't go lay back down. I did all that laying down for weeks and months. And it didn't.
And plus,
help.
At that point, your kidneys was like sparkling clean. This is not this can be considered inappropriate. But I've seen Randy got a C-section when she gave birth to Drew.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I saw the inside of your body.
I know.
I know what everything looked like.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, it's the same situation. And your insides are so clean.
Because I drink so much water.
All of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I felt like you were also safe to drink as much as you did when you was drinking.
Yeah. My skin was so clear.
Is this morbid?
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
All right. So what have we learned about ourselves and our grief with drinking and smoking? So you kind of touched on this, but I realized like it wasn't giving
what it said
it was supposed to. It was supposed to like save you and like help you. And it mm-hmm. wasn't doing because you have to come down. And that's why I stopped smoking, because I realized that come down one time. I smoked after you had smoked and everything and everybody was asleep and my high came down.
You didn't do the proper thing, which was to also go to sleep. You were supposed to like, it was supposed to feed into
I fell asleep.
Shutdown.
No, yeah, it didn't. I did it like in the middle of the day. I mean, y'all, it was crazy. And so by the time my high comes down, it's like 11 p.m. Everybody's asleep.
I'm out. Drew out.
And it's just me and my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary. I hadn't realized how high I was. I hadn't realized how much I wasn't feeling.
Quality shit.
I mean, when I tell you, it hit me like, no, your son is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's awake and it's just you. And now you have to do all this crying that you didn't do from the afternoon till now.
Well,
and
from yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, like it was really, I mean, I've only been scared like that one other time. Hi. And that happened later. But that wasn't.
That's another story.
But I was really afraid. And I was like, you know what? This isn't, I can't do this anymore. I would rather feel my grief in increments. I would rather feel it by hour, than feel it all at once at 11 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
By myself. You can't wake you up because you out, you know, because we've also been like up and crying and grieving, you know, for days and days and days. So by the time we finally do get to bed, we're exhausted. And, you know, Drew is reading the room, you know, and we've had help and things, but everybody sleep, you know, and I know not to wake anybody up. And so I just remember feeling like I can't do this. It's not actually protecting me. It's just like stalling the inevitable, which is like the breakdowns that come after you realize over and over and over again that there is no baby. So I was like, yeah, this ain't gonna work.
I mean, and that ultimately feeds into my thing, which is the over encompassing point that it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable at all. I learned immediately that this is not for me, which is a lesson I already knew, which is why I didn't smoke like that anymore anyway.
Yeah.
After college, I let smoking go. I was a black and mild nigga and I smoked weed. Like it was not healthy.
Yeah.
And so I stopped smoking and I cut down on drinking, period. And then I started drinking again because, you know, life and teaching just comes with the territory. But it's not that it's not sustainable just because, like, money wise, it ain't worth it. I have a problem. The visual, like, of burning money. Like, I consider it just burning money. There's shit that we got to do and I don't got time. Also, I'm also one of those people that's not comfortable smoking around their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So like, she got to be gone, which means I got to set up the perfect situation for me to smoke. Mm-hmm. And like, dude, it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too much. It requires too much work. I'm just not cut out for it. Whereas I can just pour something in a cup and continue moving. And I don't want to be drunk all day. Because I also have other shit that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And drinking at work. I have nothing negative to say about drinking at work.
Mikey.
But you can only escape something for so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, eventually, the escape leads to an ending. There's supposed to be an ending there. And that ending can't then be another escape.
Right.
Or another one, or another one, or another one. You realize you've just been avoiding reality for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you're right, you're going to have to come back down. And what you expressed where you were like, all right, I would rather feel my
all
feelings.
All my feelings throughout the day.
Throughout the day, rather than just have them crashing down on me. I'm in a space now, 6 months later, where like, all right, I would rather feel something every day, bit by bit, in order for me to like take it in manageable pieces for me,
mm-hmm.
in spaces where I can create space for me to do so, than to actively avoid it all the damn time,
mm-hmm.
or to overwhelm myself with it in times where I can't afford to overwhelm myself with it. Because it was getting difficult because, you know, shortly after we came home, I had to go back to work.
Yeah.
And like, I'm on camera and I'm talking to people and I'm like fighting tears.
Because
mm-hmm. I have to work because bills, and I don't want to do any of the, like, I'm also in a space where I don't want to do shit. I just mm-hmm. don't want to do nothing in this space, but I have no choice. Like, I'm a slave to like the way the world works and patriarchy. So I realized like, this is not sustainable. I have to find what is sustainable, because something needs to sustain me, because I am wasting away.
Yeah.
I'm wasting away in ways that I've seen before. I've seen adults in my life and my family go through hard shit and just kind of give in to whatever their vice was. I've lost family members and loved ones to suicide. I can see a path. I see a couple paths that are very, very clear in how they end and how they could possibly affect my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my daughter, which mm-hmm. is the biggest deal in the world to me. I'm like, I can't go down those paths. So then there's an immediate like, all right, let's cut it out because you're wilding. Also, let's address some of the things that you're avoiding. What's the first thing you're avoiding? Talking to your wife about what the fuck we just did last week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go talk to Randy about what we just did last week. Hey, are you in a space? Do you feel like, how are you feeling? Like, I don't remember who the first one was to say, how are you feeling right now? Like, it wasn't obvious,
mm-hmm.
but we kind of, instead of saying what the obvious answer was, which is, I'm sad, I'm mad, like, we took it a step further. I don't remember what day that was or who did it first, but that was what set everything else off.
Everything else.
Whereas it was like, all right, so we'll cut down on the vices and escaping for a minute and start building back on the normal shit, which is having some conversation and organizing our thoughts and trying to get back into some form of dealing with this in a healthy way. Also, because
time
is passing, Drew's home. She's no longer staying with somebody who's like watching her. We have to get back to work and we have to start thinking about his memorial. This was all during that same time where I was going to like pick up his ashes. It was mm-hmm. just it was too much. It was very, very overwhelming. And so during that time, they also just want no time for me to get high. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to like run away. There's no runaway time. Like, you got to face it. So how are you going to face it? You going to face it as like the person who's about to break down every single second? Or are you going to take a breath, address some shit real quick, piece by piece, to be able to take these things on? Escaping just ain't, it ain't sustainable for our lifestyle. It doesn't work.
And so, I mean, you know, it's fun while it lasted. It was great.
It was. And there's still there's still remnants of it, by the way.
I mean.
Because I still got some road.
Okay, Mike.
Waiting for me. What?
Nothing.
We still drink, but, you know, in social gatherings.
Yeah, I've even tried to. Right now, I'm just on a little wine. I can't.
That's because you keep trying other shit you ain't supposed to be doing.
What?
Edibles. Edibles is what it is. We can talk about it for a minute because you're an edible. Edibles are terrible inventions. I don't apologize. For anyone out there who's listening, if you enjoy edibles, you make horrible life decisions.
Mikey, yeah.
Cookies should just be regular cookies. Trolleys should just be regular gummy bears or gummy oranges.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with it.
That's another conversation.
I had a bad experience. That is another conversation.
Engagement.
All right. So a few questions. When you grieve, what advice do you turn to? And if you're in a relationship, how does that advice affect your relationship?
Yeah. Questions that need answers.
Yeah, let us know. Shoot us an email at
blackmailmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or hit us up on social media like y'all always do and let us know what you are unlearning and learning about your grief.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to engage with y'all on this one because if you don't know, we get active in our stories and we ask these questions and we share your answers because we really want to like know.
I feel like people, after my bonus episode where I literally was like, we did that question of the day thing or we did like some question about how was your weekend or something like that. And then we were talking about the wedding we had just went to. And then I realized I am unwell. And I did my whole bonus episode about how I wasn't okay. And how like, I feel like people have been in solidarity with me by not doing the question polls anymore because it was a major trigger for me that day about Noble. Because I was like, actually, this is not, I'm actually not okay, you know, and I don't want to be in my stories. But we are saying that it is okay now. To talk to us, we have decided
to touch back down on Earth. And
I wish you would stop lowering your.
It was just that
head.
One time. This entire time, I had to itch my nose when I said something. Sorry, I was scratched. My book is out while I talking to the mic. I apologize.
God,
you love me. I see the way you're looking at me.
Do you? Do you see me?
I do see you. See me?
Okay. I see you moving your head from this mic. I see that. Okay, babe.
This is one time.
Okay, y'all. Thanks, y'all.
Pretty good.
It's time for Randy and Mike's. Fight or flight, they've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
All right, what's beef? What you want?
Okay, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got a lot going on, all the stuff you know.
Here she go with the bullshit.
You keep cooking
mm-hmm.
and not turning the stove off.
Randy.
You keep cooking
okay,
and not turning the stove off.
Okay.
And Lord knows how long the stove is on before my Peter Tingle realizes that there's something wrong. And I look back at the stove and it says surface on, hot surface.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still turned on after you finish cooking. We done ate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes you've put up the dishes
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, babe, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. I keep thinking, oh, babe, I'm sorry. You literally keep saying mm-hmm. the same thing.
Got you.
Every time you do it. Mm-hmm. So what
your
is it?
Your mocking me voice has not changed.
What is it? Why do you keep, like, I don't understand.
I feel like I don't sound
like,
that
I feel
way
like
anymore.
There's like some Freudian slip in this because
you think I'm
never
trying to
did this
do what?
Before Noble passed. Mm-hmm. And now that Noble is gone, you are leaving the stove on.
Yes. Well, here's
on
the
accident.
Thing.
Multiple times.
Here's the thing. I love you. And just for context, for anyone listening, we have an electric stove. I do not have gas leaking or burning at all times of the day. It is an electric stove. And I cook.
It's still a stove.
I cook with the front two burners. The main two, those are my friends. Everybody has those key ones that they use.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time, though, depending on the meal that I'm making, I use the back one.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I forget to turn it off after I've made all the plates, put all the dirty dishes
up. It hasn't
just
been the back one.
Sometimes I forget the burner is on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do about that because sometimes I also don't forget to turn the burners off. To clarify, though, just so you know, I'm not trying to kill you. Or Drew. Or us.
Yourself.
I'm not trying to burn down the house.
Okay.
Nor do I think that the house would burn down if I just left it on all night and
Doesn't
day.
Doesn't matter.
I don't
it's
think
a
that
stove.
That's how
I think that. I think works. That eventually hot things
I don't think that is
catch fire. We've seen
nah,
this is us.
That's not how that works with this.
You don't know that.
I'd be willing to bet money that if the stove just sat and it was on and nothing touched it ever, that it wouldn't burn down the house.
You don't know that.
I don't.
So.
You're right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to apologize. I'm going to apologize for the times that I left the stove on and was absent-minded. Keep the tally this year.
Of the times someone apologizes for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because it rarely happens.
That's not true. What? I apologize. You're right. When we apologize like that. He'd be like, all right, nigga, if that's what you left it.
All right.
So I apologize. Absent-mindedness is an effect, a side effect of being a sad ass nigga. And I'm a sad guy.
I know.
So I apologize. I will work on it. I keep looking at the stove now,
like the stove.
And I'm concerned that I've left it. It's off.
It is off.
It is off right now. I will be better.
Okay.
I will do better.
Okay.
Please forgive me.
I will. I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
PDA.
PDA. Is it your first? My first?
It's
your
first. It's our first PDA of the year.
Of the season.
Yeah. In the year.
Mm-hmm.
I figure I wanna where I want to take this. Nothing old. Slightly new. New to you listening. You hear it all the time. We are in flux. We are in a space where things are constantly shifting. They have shifted out of a sad place into some sadder places in other areas of our lives. Just as life is, you know, ebbs and flows. And throughout everything that's gone on since July of last year when we lost Noble to now, there has been a couple of things that you have still been putting energy into that I'm super proud of. And so I'm going to shout it out here because I love you and I love it. And yes, that is Wordy Productions. That
Oh, babe.
Is your baby.
Yeah.
I'm just super proud of you. I'm going to continue to do whatever I can as your street team to put flyers on niggas' windows and walk up like, hey, bro, buy this mixtape or donations for a mixtape or, you know, just take it so that people like check it out. But I'm super proud of you. I have watched you put effort into things since you were like 15.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched you try. And I'm really proud of the way that you put your all into and try to recommit yourself every once in a while, even when you get thrown off of, you know, your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Or something slows your pace or sets you off or stops your progress. How you just continue to like push through just as anyone does when you're starting a business for the first time. Or you're dealing with something that's important to you,
mm-hmm.
that you're passionate about, and that you're really fucking good at. I know that you're going to get exactly what it is that you want out of your management company because you're amazing. You do really great work, as anyone listening to this can tell, because the audio that you're listening to right now, the experience that we're taking you on is silky smooth. My voice don't know what you sound like. This actually sound horrible, but
Mikey,
it's Randy that does this, ladies and gentlemen. Randy. But I love you, and
I'm
really,
you.
Really proud of you and all
Thank
of the work
you.
That you put into Wordy Productions. And I know this is going to be a thing later. People will look back at this and be like, oh, that's what the fuck she was. Okay, so that's what she had going on. I'd have been proud of her, too. But I love you, and I know it
you.
Ain't all fun.
No, it's not.
And I know there's other problems that you had that you didn't foresee that actually have nothing to do with your business itself or the setup of it or your clients. But I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Well, my PDA, you've also heard this. Recently, but no, actually, this is new.
Okay.
So at the time of this recording, we have gone on our first date. We used to do Sunday date nights for people who mm-hmm. used to listen way, way, way back when. We used to really commit to going out every Sunday. And now Sundays are Noble days. That's the day he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes those Sundays are really sad. And sometimes those Sundays are like
most
really
times.
Chill. Yes, most times it's really sad. Most other times it's chill. We're just all like in bed. It's like, you know what? we're gonna dedicate this day of rest to our son.
Yeah.
But this past Sunday, we went to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of anxiety because it is still a pandemic. And we have not eaten out in a restaurant in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we wore our mask and things and we tried. And you got us tickets to finally see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We've been trying to go, but COVID. And we finally got to go. And there was nobody there, really. Like, I think it was like 6 people in the theater. And we got a side seat. So we were like on a row all by ourselves. It was great. It was really great.
Just
and
the last time we saw Spider-Man in the theaters, weren't you pregnant with Drew?
I was pregnant with Drew. We watched Spider-Verse. Yep.
We were the only ones in the theater.
No, it was like another person.
It was like two. It was like maybe another couple, but.
Yeah. And one other guy, like a white guy with a laptop. I always think it's like movie watchers like coming in. I don't know. Trying to see like,
something.
I don't know. But he was there. And mm-hmm. that was the last time that we saw a Spider-Man movie. I was pregnant with Drew.
Yeah.
And it was our baby moon. And we were so mad about
waiting as long as we did.
We did to watch this movie when your sister had been telling us for months. And it was amazing. Yes. Just like this last Spider-Man was amazing.
We won't spoil anything for you all.
It was amazing. And we finally got to see it. And it felt nice to like, it felt familiar and nice to go on a date. And thank you so much for funding it. And thank you, I mean, this really nice journal. And it was just really nice. It was nice to like put clothes on and, you know, have a babysitter to watch Drew and go out like we used to on Noble's Day on Sunday. And it was nice. I mean, you know, it always feels like there's something and there's someone missing because there is. Yeah. And it was also nice. So we're in the, this constant state of yes and. This really hurts. This moment is kind of tainted, but it was nice to be with you. So thank you so much for planning that.
You're welcome. Yes, everyone, that is a, this is the beginning of a series. We will be doing the Sunday date nights. That might be my me trying my hand at TikToks. at least once a month, I would like to remember what it's like to be just a couple. So I'm trying to restore the feeling. So for January, dinner and a movie.
Thanks, babe.
I love you.
I love you.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman.
All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Wordy Productions, a podcast management company.
The podcast management company. We are now and still available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all other favorite, all of your favorite streaming services.
Rate us 5 stars. We just got back. It's okay. It's okay.
Y'all know we gotta...
do this again.
We're gonna tighten up.
All right. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles. Details are in our show notes.
What up, E? To support our podcast, consider jumping on Patreon.
Yes. At patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get unedited, edited, and ad-free episodes, Zoom meetings with us, and more.
Yeah, man. Stop missing out on game nights.
I know. We just had a fun
one. And our community meetings, man. It get lit on Patreon.
We played Jackbox last time.
You're missing out on so many mixtapes.
And then Mikey does sometimes pay the winners of games.
I always except once because they was like, nah, keep it.
The time that you didn't, you won each round.
Oh, that's true. So, and I was gonna give it to second place.
No. It's like, no, that wasn't the rules. Winners get the money.
Yeah, man. Come on, just join us.
Yeah.
And be sure to check out our website.
Yes, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com, and follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
Chillin'. But feel free to follow.
@_thechapmans. Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get. 1, 2, 3, let me step inside.